The Lord is the light of my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain shall be made low. And the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. You have your personal copy. World's bestseller. I want to call your attention to the gospel according to John. John chapter 3, verse number 16. John chapter 3. And verse number 16. If you have it, say amen. I'm going to be reading this from the New King James Version of the Holy Bible. I'm going to ask you as we do to read this text after me. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can we read it again? For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to thank the people of God for reading the word of God in the house of God. I want to thank the Lord this morning for his living word that is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Now from this text this morning, I want to share this subject. And I'm going to ask you to repeat this subject after me. What's love got to do with it? Say it again. What's love got to do with it? Once again, what's love got to do with it? Today, yeah, y'all on a roll. Today is the Lord's Day. It is the first day of the week. It is a special day in the week when the people of God, the disciples of God, come together to break bread. It is the day of the week in which we assemble to worship in spirit and in truth our great and awesome God. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Somebody put it this way, that yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift, and that's why it's called the present. Whether you realize it or not, God did give you a gift today when he woke you up. Started you on your way. I'm telling you, God gave you a gift while the blood was still circulating, while your heart was still palpitating, and your mind was still regulating. And I'm telling you, that's a gift given to us by God, because he makes it explicitly clear that without me, you can do nothing. But not only is today the Lord's Day, today is also another day. It's called Valentine's Day. Love is in the air. Amen. Lot of folks today got love on their mind. Is that all right? Love is an amazing word. Love is a powerful word. Love is a word that is great, but I'm afraid that it is a word that is really greatly misunderstood. Now, in the Greek language, the language in which the New Testament was written, there were many words that denoted love. We simply have one word in the English language, and we use that word, perhaps overuse it, to describe the different dimensions and relations of love. For example, in the Greek language, there is a word called eros, and that is the word that denotes romantic love or the love between the sexes. Now, I know we got a lot of confusion on that today, but erotic love properly is a love between the sexes. And then there is the word agape, which is the word for the love of God, redemptive goodwill, the love that seeks to give, the love that seeks to bless. Agape is another one of those words in the Greek language. And then there is the word philia, which is the word denoting the love of friendship. Friends can love friends, and it is a warm term. Sometimes God even uses the word philia as he talks about that we are his friends. And then there is the word storge, or storge, which means family love, that we love members of our family. It's a warm love, and sometimes when people don't have love for their family, because it's not natural that people don't love members of their own family. And that's why the Bible talks about that being without natural affection. So that's the Greek word storge. This word denotes family love. And then Tina Turner sang a song. It was a hit record for her. It was entitled, What's Love Got to Do With It? And she pointed out that the touch of your hand make my pulse react. It's the thrill of boy seeking girl. And then she said, it's only physical. It's only logical. And then she went on to say, what's love got to do with it? What's love but a secondhand emotion? I know y'all knew it. Amen. And then she said, what's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? But I heard the poet say, it is better to have love and loss than not to have loved at all. Can anybody say amen to that? Well, the Bible knows something about people getting their hearts broken. That's why the Son of God said concerning his ministry, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. I'm telling you this morning that Jesus came into the world to heal the broken heart. Amen. If you got a broken heart this morning, I'd recommend you bring it to Jesus. Bring every shattered piece to Jesus. Let him heal your broken heart. Amen. Well, John 3:16 has been called the golden text of the Bible. It is a marvelous passage of Scripture. It said, God, who is the greatest lover of all, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved. When you love, you got to give. Now it is true, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Amen? Well, when we look at this text, we see, first of all, several great ideas. Number one, we see the greatest being, God. We see the greatest force or greatest act, so love. We see the greatest number, the world. We see the greatest gift that he gave, his only begotten son. And then we see the greatest outcome or result, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the greatest possible outcome. That's better than getting a new job. That's better than getting married. That's better than winning the Super Bowl. Greatest outcome is that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in 1 John 2:2 that God gave his son to be a propitiation. In the King James version of the Bible. And that word means that God gave Jesus to be the atoning sacrifice. When he said God gave his son, he gave his son to be the atoning sacrifice for my sin. Christ died for my sin because he loved me so much. He was willing to give up his life for my sins. Isn't that a glorious thing? You ask the question, what does love have to do with the cross? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to be my propitiation or my atoning sacrifice, that in order that I might not perish. So there are two things I want you to see, brothers and sisters. Number one is what love got to do with God. And number two, what's love got to do with you, and what's love got to do with me? Amen. Now, when we look at this first idea, what love's got to do with God, we all need higher education. How many believe in higher education? And when I talk about higher education, I'm not talking about a master's degree or a doctorate degree. I'm talking about the higher education of knowing the only true and living God. That's higher education. Amen. God warned in Jeremiah, don't let the mighty man or don't let the wise man or the rich man glory in wisdom, might. You see, don't glory in your physical fitness. It's all right to be world class, to have world class fitness, but don't glory in that. It's all right to have plenty of money. We ain't mad at you, but don't glory in that. It's all right to be smart and intelligent, but don't glory in that. But if you're going to glory in the fact that you know and understand God. Now, in some ways, we can't know God because he's too high. His ways are not like our ways. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, are his ways and our ways, and his thoughts and our thoughts. But there are some things about God we can understand that will help us. Because God is depicted in several metaphors or images. God is depicted in scripture as being almighty. He is almighty God. He's God all by himself. And there's nothing too hard for God. He's got such awesome power. He could just speak. Things start to come into existence. He spoke And the sky was filled with birds winging their way through the air, singing about his glory. But not only is he almighty, he's depicted in scripture as being all wise. Man's greatest intellect is no match for the wisdom of God. You see, the foolishness of God, which is irony in scripture, because there is no foolishness with God. But if there were any foolishness with God, it would be greater than the wisdom of men. And then God is depicted as a father. Amen. He's depicted as a father. And I would imagine most of us have a good relationship with our father. Well, I didn't hear much on that. I guess I need to leave that long. I don't know. Praise God. Is that all right? And then God is depicted as a shepherd. A shepherd does three important things. Let me give you these three things a shepherd does. A shepherd feeds, a shepherd guides, and a shepherd protects. That's what a shepherd does. Now, even though we live in a modern culture, and perhaps you don't understand what a shepherd is, but a shepherd, he guides you, he feeds you, and he protects you. And in some time, God is depicted in scripture as a friend. And a friend, y'all, a lot of people we call friends are really just associates. Hello, y'all. Because a friend in scripture is someone who looks out for your highest good. A friend is somebody who tells you, I'll be there and is there. Is that all right? That's what a friend is. And then he's also depicted as a judge. He's the righteous judge of all the earth. He's going to judge me one day. But of course, if I'm in Christ, he's already judged me. And then he's depicted as a lover. Nobody loves more than God. Nobody loves you more than God. Out of all the folks in your life that's close to you, none of them can love you like Jesus. Because can't nobody do me like Jesus. Is that all right? Well, everything God is love. And because he's love, he acts toward people with love. How many can say I've experienced the love of God? You woke up this morning. What you think that was? It wasn't the coffee brewing that woke you up. It wasn't the sun peeking around the curtain that woke you up. It was God who woke you up, started you on your way. So he expresses his love to you. If you multiply the number of years you've been living, you've been loved on all those years. God was loving you even when you didn't love yourself. God was loving you even when you didn't even like yourself. Is that all right? So he is described as being a lover. But I want to give you four dimensions of his love. Let me give you four dimensions of God's love. Now, of course, because God is good, love comes out of his goodness. Two major things about God. He's holy. That is, he doesn't tolerate sin. You're in God. You can't say, God, all right, God, let you overlook that. Now, he doesn't do that. But he'll forgive you. He won't forget your sin, but he will forgive them. If you seek forgiveness in the God-ordained way, is that all right? Amen. Well, what about these dimensions of God's love? Well, first of all, the first dimension of God's love is benevolence, which means he looks out for my welfare. How many folks do you have in your life that you really believe got your welfare at heart? How many you got? I got about 10 or 15 of them. And you may have. We're not saying you don't. But God looks out for my welfare. I've lived so far. You know, I think about God. He really got me out of some tight places. One time he got me out of a car where I lost the back wheel on the freeway. Now you gonna tell me that wasn't God? Then I was in my bed asleep. My house was on fire. I was asleep. And I just happened to wake up. You gonna tell me that wasn't God? And then I was coming out the club and they were shooting at me. And I got out of that class. And you gonna tell me that wasn't God? I'm telling you, God has been looking out. How many can say the Lord has had my back? Amen. The Lord, because I've been in places I know I ain't have no business. I was doing things I know I ain't have no business doing. But the Lord delivered me. And then there is not only his benevolence, there is his grace. And that is, he doesn't deal with me according to my merit, but God deals with me according to my need. Oh, I want to praise his glorious name for his grace. And that's why hymnologists so moved by grace. They said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And someone even said, amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I don't know how Christ came to love me so, but he looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my fallen soul. Thank you, Lord. You look beyond my fault. Lord, you know I ain't perfect. Lord, you know we're flawed, but yet you look beyond that. And that's love. When I see his benevolence, that's love. When I see his grace, that's love. And the next one is mercy. Mercy is his tender-hearted kindness. Do you know God has been kind to us? His tender-hearted kindness to us, because how many can say in your life that you've been in situation where you needed some mercy? Amen. And you'll admit that I needed somebody to have mercy on me. I needed the Lord to have mercy on me. I was down and out. Thing wasn't working out. But the Lord loved me and had mercy on me. And then the next one is patience. That's love too. How many can say that I'm saved today? I'm where I need to be today because God waited on me. And God's patience means that God continues to bless you. God continues to delay judgment to give you a chance to get yourself together. Is that all right? The Bible says when Noah was building the ark, while the ark was building, God long suffering and forbearance and patience was waiting for people to get themselves together. God doesn't bring judgment. And then the second coming of Christ. You know, this world is going to end when Christ comes back. Christ could come back today. Christ could come back tomorrow. A lot of time God delays the second coming of Christ to give people a chance to get themselves together. That's the patience of God. Can't you say, God, be patient with me? Or can you say to people, be patient with me, God ain't through with me yet? Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. And God has, and you really can't understand the cross. You can't understand Calvary. I know we talk about the cross. We take the communion every Sunday in the churches of Christ, and we should do that. But you really can't understand Calvary until you see the need. And I'm telling you that God has placed the blood-stained cross with its blood-drenched slopes across the path of every hell-deserving sinner. And in the cross, every sin is met and conquered. In the cross, every iniquity is met and killed. In the cross, every darkness is met and dispelled. In the cross, every fear is put aside. In the cross, every yearning is met and filled. In the cross, every need is met and filled. You can't understand the cross. And because of the cross, the charges have been dropped. That's what love got to do with it. I'm enjoying forgiveness today because love said, let the charges be dropped. And then finally this morning, let me tell you about number two. And that is, what's love got to do with you? And what's love got to do with me? Amen? Well, we are invited to taste and see that the Lord is good. How many this morning can say the Lord is good? Amen. And the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Is that right? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So we're invited to experience for ourselves the goodness of God. And I want to say this morning, Lord, you've been good to me. How many can say amen to that? Amen. And sometimes we take that for granted. Sometimes we take for granted waking up in the morning. Take for granted we got a good job. Take for granted we got money in the bank. Take for granted we got, as Brother Sperling prayed, reasonable. Maybe you ain't as healthy as you would like to be, but you ain't sick as you want to be. Is that all right? And we thank God for that. In the ironic prayer, he talked about the blessing of God. He said, may the Lord make his face to shine on you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you. And may the Lord give you peace. How many can say this morning, you know, the Lord has allowed his face to shine on me. Amen. The Lord has allowed his countenance. He has lifted up his countenance upon me. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And the Lord has given me peace. How many can say this morning, you know, I go to sleep at night. Right. I mean, all the bills ain't paid, Brother Sperling, but I go to sleep. Right. And Claudia, I'll pay him when I get it. They don't need me stand up worrying about that. Because Jesus said, by worrying, you can't add one inch to your stature. But you can turn your hair gray. Well, Moss, that's why you got so much gray. No, just follow the time. And just hang on. Huh? And you looking at me, Miss Claro. Come on now. All right now. Don't you start nothing. Amen. And I ain't mad at that. I ain't knocking that, Ron. I don't want to get in no trouble this morning. It's Valentine's Day. Is that right, Doc? Give me something. Yeah, give me something. Amen. Amen. But I thank God. And then number two, what's love got to do with it? It's got to do with a covenant invitation. Covenant. God says in Hebrews 8:12, listen, I will be their God and they will be my people. That's covenant language. That means, listen, get this, covenant means that God will act for you in special ways. Now, God blesses all people to some extent, sinner, saint alike. Let's prove that. He causes his son to shine on the good and the evil. He causes his rain to fall on the just. When it rained, it just don't rain on the Christian yard. It ran on the dope dealer yard. It ran on the game banger's yard. It rains on the thug yard. Not just the man who goes to church. But God does something special for Christians. I will be your God. That means you can pray and expect to be heard. That means that you have the hope, bless you, of eternal life. I will be their God, and they will be to me a people. Covenant. What's love got to do with me being in covenant? How many want to be in covenant? That's a beautiful thing, covenant. The Church of Christ, get this, it's the new covenant church. The one you can read about in the Bible. Amen? The New Testament church. Now watch this. What's love got to do with? I'm going to get Brother Ron to read this. If I'm Ron, you got your Bible, Doc. Let's everybody go to John 14. How many can say, I really love the Lord this morning? You don't know what he done for me. He gave me the victory. How many can say this morning, I keep falling in love with him over and over again? Somebody, how many can say, love lifted when nothing else would help? Love lifted me. Now, how many can say, I really love the Lord? And you know, in the church, we've got to teach people to love the Lord. We got to help people to love the Lord so much that you'll give yourself to him and you'll live for everybody here. We got to help everybody here. It ain't just about coming to church. It's about a relationship. What's love got to do with it? And if we're not teaching and encouraging people to love the Lord enough that they will give their lives to him and live for him, we are failing at our responsibility. We got to tell people that God loved you so much, he gave himself for you. And we got to teach people to love each other. To love each other enough so we'll help each other. We will bear one another's burden. Amen? And we won't hurt each other. When people love, see, love won't let you hurt nobody. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Is that all right? And we got to teach people, you got to learn how to love God. You got to learn how to love yourself. You know, a lot of folks don't love themselves. You can't love God if you don't love yourself. Even though you love God more than you love yourself. Is that all right? We got to teach people to learn how to love their family. Just because you get married don't mean you know how to love a husband. Oh, help me here, Holy Ghost. Just cause you get married don't mean you know how to love a wife. Just cause you have a baby don't mean you know how to love your baby. Hello? And whether you know it or not, all of us get OJT training with kids. You don't get no practice run. We're the baby here. You better get with it. You got to learn how to love you, love God. You got to learn how to love yourself. What love got to do with you? You got to learn how to love yourself. And if I love myself, I make quality choices for me. I stop doing stuff that's hurting me. I stop doing stuff that's killing me. Because sometimes I can be my own worst enemy. Amen? So we teach, and then we teach people, and that's really good heavy. We teach people even how to love your enemies. Oh, my goodness. I'm talking, what's love got to do with it? Teaching people how to love the Lord. Teaching people how to love themselves. Teaching people how to love their families. Teaching people how to love their brothers and sisters in Christ. Because everybody here ought to have a special love for each other. Jesus said, by this you'll know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So what's love got to do with you coming to church every Sunday and doing God's will? It's got everything to do with it. John 14, 15. Let's do it, verse 15. Say, let's just go through this quick. We're going to do 14. We're going to do chapter 14, verse 15, verse 21, verse 23, and verse 24. And let's just see what the Lord says about this love business. What did he say?
Verse 15. If you love me.
If you love me.
Keep my command.
If you love me, here's how you express your love, right? How many wives today expected some candy? Well, else I already got it. Handle your business, Doc. Handle your business. Your suit. Handle your business. Amen. That was a good job, y'all. I know the rest of y'all quiet. Y'all ain't saying that. I just leave that alone. I don't want to call nobody out. Amen. So there are certain things you expect from people that love you, right? The Lord said, if you, how many can say, I really? He said, if you, read verse 15.
If you love me.
If you love me.
Keep my command.
What's love got to do with it? And I'm telling you. Reason a lot of people can't get that pep and that get up and go is because they ain't got that love connection. Remember when you was first dating that girl? Now I don't know whether y'all young, but remember back in the day they had a one single seat. Jay, you don't know nothing about that, Jay. And when you be on a date, the girl be right up on you. Look like a two-headed monster going down the street. Huh? And then when you got married, she done slid to the door. And then she about out the door. I want to know what love got to do with it. Amen. Sometimes you call, you holler, boop, 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 boop. Girl, I ain't wanting, I just wanted to hear your voice. Now she call, what she want? Oh, help me here. I want to know what love got to do with it. Ron, what does verse 21 say? Come on, we got to hurry now, Doc. Come on.
21. He that hath my commands.
He that hath my commands.
And keepeth them.
And keepeth them.
He it is that love
me. He it is. The Lord said, the real folks, the Lord say, the real folks who love me are the ones who know what the commands are and they keep them. Those are folks that really love the Lord. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Verse 23 says what?
23. Jesus answered and said unto them.
Come on.
If a man love me.
If a man love Jesus.
He will keep my word.
He will keep. And that's why. And I'm saying sometime. Now watch this. It's going to be real heavy. Sometime. You don't have the strength to love. Like you need to. Now let me prove that. Peter told the Lord, I love you. And not only do I love you, I'm with you, and I'm willing to die with you, I'm willing to go to prison with you. And the Lord told Peter, you don't love me like that yet. He said, because before this night is over, you're going to deny three times that you even knew me. And yet you say you love me. And that's why when the Lord was trying to get him back, he asked him three times, do you love me? At that point, he didn't have the love he needed. And perhaps at this point in your life, you don't have the love you need, but I'm telling you, you got to work on it. That love can grow. Because the Lord said, if you love, what's love got to do with it? It's got everything in the world to do with our obedience. And then verse 24 says, well, we're going to wrap this thing up.
24. He that loveth me not.
He that loveth me not.
Keepeth not my saying.
He that loves me not. Keeps. The Lord says the people who don't love me. Don't do what I say. That's the bottom line. So what's love got to do with it? As I conclude this morning, and I'm telling you, we gotta abide in the love of God. And we abide in the love of God by obedience. You know, businesses, Brother Harris could tell you, don't like to talk about being in the red. I know a lot of people got red on today. But businesses don't like to be in the red. Because when you're in the red, that's not a good accounting and business concept. You want to be in the black. Is that right? And if you are in the red, that means you're running a deficit. And if you keep running a deficit, it leads to bankruptcy. And I'm saying you can bankrupt your love. Brother Jay was telling us there are some men who lost their faith. People can lose their faith. You can lose your love for the Lord. You can stop liking and loving folks. Ain't that real? Ain't it some folks who used to like you don't like you no more? Praise God. What happened? The love waxed. So companies can go bankrupt. Businesses can go bankrupt. Relationships can go bankrupt. Your life can go bankrupt. But let me tell you something. Don't ever bankrupt your Christianity. Keep investing in it. Keep coming to church. Keep worshiping. Keep studying. Keep praying. Keep singing, keep giving, keep serving, and that way you're making an investment. Amen. And the question is, what love got to do with it? Got to do with it. Do y'all agree with Tina? Love ain't nothing but a secondhand emotion. Y'all agree with that? What love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? I guess she said it after Ike. I guess. I don't know. Amen. But I still say it's not a bad thing, as I say good morning to you. It's not a bad thing to love the Lord. Because ain't no lover like the Lord. And one thing about the Lord, he'll never two-time you. Is that all right? The Lord is going to always be true. And can't nobody do me like the Lord. Is that all right? And when I look at the Lord, ain't nobody like him. He threaded the world with rivers and lakes. He put the spots on the leopard jacket. And he put the stripes on the zebra. And then he said, God so loved Brother Ron. He so loved the world that he gave. I said he gave I said he gave. And what am I giving? If I love the Lord, what am I giving the Lord? God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I sometimes wonder what made Jesus go to that cross. Well, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, now sit down at the right hand of God and run while he hung on that cross between the twilights of two worlds, the mockers and the haters and the taunters, came by and said, if you come down from that cross, we'll believe you. But I'm so glad he didn't come down from that cross. Is that all right? Because Jesus had said earlier, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Didn't he say that? And if Christ had come down from that cross, my hope would have come down. Is that all right? If Christ had come down from that cross, my joy would have come down. Is that all right? If Christ had come down from that cross, my peace would have come down. If Christ had come down from that cross, my salvation would have come down. And somebody asked, what love's got to do with it? And I tell you, love got everything to do with it. Is that all right? Because somebody said, eloquence is love talking. Patience is love waiting. Sympathy is love touching. Wisdom is love showing the way. Encouragement is love saying, come on up just a little higher. Is that all right? Grace is love saying, you've been set free. Mercy is love saying, the price has been paid. Is that all right? Salvation is love rescuing. I wish somebody knew what I was talking about. Is that all right? Justification says the charges. It loves saying the charges have been dropped. Is that all right? Sanctification is love saying you have been made whole. I wish somebody knew what I was talking about. Is that all right? Glorification is love saying, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Is that all right? And love. I said love. I want to ask this morning, what can separate me from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, for all thy sake we are killed all day long. We are like sheep for the slaughter. But he said, but I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels nor principalities, powers, things present or things to come, nor height nor depth or any other creature can separate me from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. I might be having a time, but it don't mean I'm separated. I might be on my sick bed, but it doesn't mean I'm separated. I may be sick and I may not get well, but it doesn't mean I'm separated. I may not even have a job. Did y'all hear me? But it don't mean I may not have no money, but it doesn't mean I'm separated. Because nothing can separate me. Would you stand, beloved? That's the message. Nothing can separate me. So I decided this Sunday, since it's Valentine's Day, since love is in the air, I'd talk about what's love got to do with it. Got to do with it. Amen? Because it's the greatest force. And as Bush Hill grows in love and faith and hope, we'll become a greater and greater congregation. How many want to grow in love?
Amen.
How many want to grow in faith?
Amen.
How many want to grow in hope?
Amen.
And I'm telling you, and you ask yourself that question, what love got to do with my service to my God? Amen? Love make a man bring his paycheck home. A man's love for his wife and children makes him seize about him. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. Everybody don't love you back. Luther said she wouldn't love me back. Y'all know about that song? So he saw a girl, she was so very fine. Well, y'all don't know that one, huh? And then he said, "Brother, why she won't talk to me? She won't talk to me." Amen. A lot of y'all in here today, at first you wouldn't talk to. I don't like him. I was out of town, Earl. I was on the road preaching, and my buddy, he's kind of short, you know, and the Lord had relieved him of that hair on top. And she told me, when I saw him, I ain't like him. I said, "Yeah, but you're married to him today, ain't you?
Right.
You got to like him, didn't you?" A lot of stuff, Clarence, a lot of stuff you don't like, but you can learn how to like.
Amen.
I didn't like broccoli growing up, but I like it now. Anybody say amen to that? But I know we are like rutabagas. Ever. I'm like Kyla. Kyla say ever. My girl, she said, ever again. So, girl, what you know about ever? About ever again. I'm telling you, what's love got to do with your life? What's love got to do with your Christianity? If you love the Lord, you'll obey him. If you love the Lord, you'll confess your sins. You won't love the Lord and you living in rebellion and disobedience. That means you don't love him. Amen. And really, you don't love yourself. Amen. So if I'm a child of God and I'm not living like I need to live, then I can make that right. We were so proud on last Sunday, Zara Tanksley. Love the Lord enough to give her life to him. Ain't that wonderful? Yeah, is there somebody here this morning love Jesus enough to give your life to him, because he already gave his life for you? So the only question is, will you give your life for him by believing that he died for you, repenting of your sins, confessing his name, the sweetest name on mortal tongue, and being immersed, you meet the Lord in that water. In that water, God performed an operation. And what he does, when you go down in that watery grave, the blood of Christ meets you, washes away, cuts you loose from all your sin. And you come up out of that water, resurrection, to walk in newness of life. And if you are a child of God, that blood's still working for you. That blood's still working for you. Because God loves you. And all you got to do to make it right is repent, confess, and pray. And you can say, "Lord, I love you." How many can say, "Lord, I love you"? Lord, I love you. Because, Lord, I know you love me. Amen.
Amen.
So if you're here this morning, we invite you to come right now as we sing, "I really love the Lord. Yes, I do. I really love the Lord. You don't know
what he's done for me.
Just gotta thank you, Jesus gave
me the victory.
Oh, I love, I love really love the